This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, I'm not going to comment on Greg Bishop's language work.
Jacques Vallée's evil twin.
Yes, very evil, taking poor Berlitz language lessons in French.
That's why I said, ha, 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 afterwards.
Yes, Greg Bishop. Now, here's the thing that always bothered me about Bigelow is when he puts his money in, he wants that control. I mean, he has a right, it's his money. But like, for example, with MUFON. Of course, I think his problem with MUFON was not just the money thing, that they didn't deliver the research he paid them to do. I think that was part of the dispute there. And that's the problem with MUFON. They don't deliver anything, except a lot of controversies like this guy, John Venter. Remember him, Greg, where he was ousted finally because he is a white nationalist making overt racist comments. We don't like to talk about politics. But this guy was saying some pretty nasty things. And finally, he was dismissed, I guess, as a state director. But he also was a co-host of the Hangar One TV show, which is still available online. So I don't know what they do about that.
I don't know either. You guys haven't talked about this on your show yet?
We did a little bit. Chris okay. wasn't on, but we did last week.
I saw a little bit of this at the beginning as soon as that Jan Harzen thing came up saying, oh, well, you know, if any, you shouldn't really. Who's worse, the hater or the people doing the hating? All the haters that come on. It's like, whoa, what kind of a reaction was that? Immediately people started. I think I was the fifth one on there. I actually said I didn't say anything about Venture except, look, he can say whatever he wants. He should be able to say whatever he wants. That's totally fine, whether you agree with him or not. I don't personally agree with him, but whatever. The problem here was damage control. Any organization, any group, government, private, nonprofit, as soon as somebody sticks their head up above water and says something that might get them in trouble, they cut them off immediately. They said, we don't have anything to do with this person. They do not reflect the values of our organization, and we have let them go. They didn't do that. That was a big mistake. And, you know, they did it later after a lot of people started leaving MUFON and saying, look, we're not going to be associated with this anymore. So the problem, you know, wasn't really with Venture, which is, you know, a problem anyway. The problem was the reaction to it. That's what the blowback was.
Of course. I mean, even then it seemed like it was a half-hearted statement. And I think he certainly should have been more forthcoming about it, certainly express some emotion, how offended they are, but also tell the members, what are they doing to make sure other people who presumably speak for the organization, which is a separation, I mean, anyone can join, but when you speak for the organization, you're in a position of power, state director, member of the board, a field investigator, they need to do something to check these people, to make sure they are people that you can welcome into your home and accept their presence.
Well, either that or people that just do not bring up this crap and do not let it affect their public persona, what's done in MUFON, or anything said about MUFON. I know people who are diametrically opposed to me politically, hold some opinions that I really don't agree with or even like or I think might be dangerous. But as long as they don't bring it up, I really don't particularly care what they think. As long as they stay on point with whatever we're working on, that's fine. The thought crime thing does, you know, I don't have any problem with people holding a belief system and not pushing it on anybody else or either that or bringing it up in the context of MUFON or whatever it is.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. And right. People may argue that he was keeping it to himself because it was his personal page on Facebook. That's BS. Facebook is public unless you don't show anything to anybody except your friends. Everybody had access to what he said on his page, anybody that's on Facebook. So that argument doesn't hold water with me. You know, it's brought up a lot of other problems in the organization, and people are speaking out about it. And I hope that this continues because if the organization survives, I don't know if it will or not. In some ways I want it to survive, in others I don't. I'm conflicted about it. But that if it survives, that there's a severe shakeup in how they do things, how they vet people, and how, you know, what their methodology is, and even the organizational structure.
And the thing here is just look up the person online, the first thing. If you see negatives, and anybody in the public eye has negatives, we all do.
Yeah.
Ask them, what is this about? Please explain. Yeah. And if the explanation is satisfactory, okay, that's fine.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, make the effort. A lot of ways MUFON is not up to date. It's not living in the 21st century. Their database feels like it's 1990, like a 1990 computer that can barely handle a textual search. And you want to search for something in their database, that's what you get.
Yeah, and it's limited, too. Oh, I'll tell you another thing Valet said in his talk about, which really surprised me, about databases. He said that I hope I'm not quoting him out of context, or, you know, anybody finds out this is wrong, please tell me. What he said was, I don't believe that UFO databases are useful anymore, which floored me. And the reason he said that was that he said, look, all this data has been gathered by people with different ideas, different cultures, different organizations, and they're all asking different questions. And if you put this into a database and start searching through it, or even have an AI do it, it's going to come out with crap, because it's basically, he said, it's the old garbage in, garbage out idea. There's got to be a way, and he doesn't think there is, as far as I could tell, to reconcile all the different ways that data was gathered, how it was expressed, and, you know, what was how it was categorized. And I hope he's wrong, but he knows way more about data and data gathering than I ever could. So I'm willing to consider that maybe the era of gathering reports on sightings might be useless at this point. I don't know the answer to that.
I think we have enough sightings. I think it's, what do we do with it? What do we do with these experiences? And the problem with MUFON is they treat UFOs as events that are separate from the witness. Is the witness credible or not? Fine. Now let's look at the event and record it. And that's their concern.
Yeah, but how do you categorize a witness experience with the variety that comes across? That might be impossible. I mean, I guess you could take notes. what happened later? But this isn't something an AI could go through at this point and figure out. You'd have to have people going combing through this stuff as a full-time job, which is another thing. You know, you have to get people who are, one, data savvy, and two, UFO report and savvy to the subject, and three, and probably the most important, how do you find somebody that doesn't have a bias that's going to start self-selecting out stuff that might be important? I don't know.
I guess you can't self-select stuff. You have to look at everything and then see if you can find something consistent from one to the next. Because right now you have a zillion types of UFOs. They try to find patterns, you know, ley lines and this parallel and that parallel. That's parallel nonsense. They keep trying to find these patterns. And what happens is, once you find the pattern, the phenomenon does something else. We used to have the 7-year cycle of UFOs. We'd have flaps every 7 years, flurries of sightings. This goes back decades ago. And then after people started getting aware of that, it stopped. Okay, no longer a 7-year cycle. Is it a 5-year cycle? Where were the sightings from this year? Flying Saucers in the Straight Line Mystery. Remember that book? And that was one of the early books trying to find a pattern in the appearance of UFOs.
I finally found a first printing copy. First English printing. So I think the very first printing was in French only, if I remember.
Right. I had one of those too long ago, but we'll go into that.
Amy Michelle. Yeah.
Right. More to come with Greg Bishop, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So what do we all remember of Amy Michelle?
He was really instrumental in Valet's process. He was Valet's first real mentor.
Ah. He was educated with diplomas in psychology and philosophy. And he was a broadcaster originally.
And a hunchback.
Was he?
No, He was.
Like Ray Palmer.
Yeah, he was a hunchback, kind of with one of those sort of Oompa Loompa gaits, because I think one leg was shorter than the other.
Yeah, I'm looking at his background here, and he was a sound engineer at one time.
Hmm.
He came out with his UFO book back in the late 50s, and he talked about so-called alignments, it says here.
Yeah. Are we talking about flying saucers and the straight line mystery? Is that
the cloud ships.
Yeah.
A very good book. It's pretty rare. It's difficult to find. And I, you know, after, geez, probably 30, 40 years of looking, I finally stumbled on a copy in a secondhand bookstore and bought it for like a dime. It's probably worth some money.
Yeah, that's usually how that kind of stuff happens. I don't even know if I have a copy. I don't even think it ever got reprinted, actually.
I think there's only one hardcover printing of it, and I even have a decent dust jacket on it. Pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Nice. Jealousy.
Well, I've been trying to sell my most valuable book on eBay, and I've had a couple of bites, but nothing substantial. It's kind of tough when you're asking five figures.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should go back to the auction house.
Yeah. I'll probably have to.
Yeah. Hey, you guys had Robert Branstetter on recently. How did that go?
Well, he was on last week. He was on after the Paracast. It was kind of just a brief thing, kind of just like a catch-up kind of thing. He's going to be on again because we're going to bring him back to talk about Robbie Graham's book.
Oh, excellent.
So that's scheduled for next week, I think.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, because that book just came out on Saturday.
No, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? That is a little prequel for having Robbie and Robert on.
Oh, okay, yeah. About a year ago, 2 years ago, I think, Robbie Graham contacted me to be one of the last interviews for Silver Screen Saucers. So he wanted to ask me about more in aviary stuff. He said, you might be interested in this lecture I gave in Holland. And what he did was he gave a lecture about silver screen saucers, I believe. And then at the end of the lecture, he said, look, there's something I really want to say about the state of ufology. And he said it, and he got people walking out. He got cheers. He got people coming up to him later and saying, my God, somebody should have been saying this for so long. I've been waiting for so long for somebody to say, look, we're in trouble and things should change. He sent me a recording of that lecture, or that part of the lecture, and I realized that maybe we were kindred spirits, so we started talking, and he said, I think maybe I would like to do a book with some of these new ideas in it. So eventually that grew into UFOs Reframing the Debate. There are 14 writers in it. Maybe I can list them. MJ Benias, me, Robert Branstetter, Jack Brewer, Mike Cleland, Kurt Collins, Josh Cutchin, Lauren Cutts, Susan Demeter St. Clair, Micah Hanks, Miles Lewis, Red Pill, our friend, Chris Rutkowski, and Ryan Sprague.
Man, I wish I'd been asked to contribute something, because, boy, I would have splashed the old bathtub dry.
Yeah, I bet. Ultimately, everything went through Robbie. It was his decision, and he picked everybody, so I was just kind of felt lucky to be involved. But the thing is that his quote on the book, which he's said a couple times, and I love it, it's a slap to the face of ufology delivered with love.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the online version of the book. Let me just point out something to people here, since we have Greg on. In the acknowledgments, my special thanks to Greg Bishop, who consulted with me closely throughout the editing process and whose perspectives and advice have been invaluable. And, of course, Red Pill Junkie did the illustrations, which
was
fabulous.
Yes, I've become his agent. Yeah, I've become his agent almost, because people saying, oh, I think I need a cover for a book. I got somebody for you. And if you know, he's done two book covers. He's done mine and Reframing the Debate. They look completely different from each other. And they're both equally striking and amazing. And I had it on a table once when I was talking to somebody, and people walking by in the restaurant kept coming by and looking at the cover, even though they had no idea what it was.
MC Escher lettering.
Yeah, and the Escher lettering is amazing. This was my book, though. They were just walking by, and everybody's looking at it because the image was so compelling, and that's what he's good at. And then, you know, he also contributed an essay in there and did illustrations for it. He also did an illustration of Jaime Maussan as a carnival barker.
Oh boy, no, that's definitely worth that alone is worth the price of the book.
By the way, we do have a cartoon of me and Chris doesn't like it so much because it shows him playing a guitar. But that was done by Red Pill Junkie. So I'm the DJ, and Chris is the musician.
Yeah.
If you get the picture.
Yes. So the general idea of the book is let's bring up things that have not been said before, or mostly things that have been said before in a different way, or have been said before and nobody's paid attention to it, and we think they should, or the writer does, and present these as kind of, it's like, you know, let's reset a little bit and see what else can be done, what other thoughts are there on the subject, rather than let's prove that aliens are coming here in ships. To everybody in the book, that is not the point of UFO study. The point of UFO study is to be curious, is to be curious in an open-minded way and see what happens. The one thing, interesting thing that's in there is Kurt Collins talking about the Roswell Slides Research Group, minute by minute, basically, almost, what happened and how they figured out what was eventually turned out to be a mummified child who was in the museum right near where Chris lives in the 1940s or so when the picture was taken. And that's a real fascinating account. I was actually in that group, but I didn't do anything, so I'm not really mentioned.
And the cartoon from Red Pill is, if it looks like a mummy and it was found in a museum, that's obviously the body of a space alien.
Yes, that's the word balloon, I think, above the subject's face.
And the title at the bottom right says, Postcards from the Fool Me Once Carnival.
Yes.
I love this picture. This is great.
Yeah. So this is like Chris said, I think that's worth the price of admission alone. And the Kindle just came out a couple days ago, so you can get it in hardcover or Kindle. I don't know what else I can say about it. I mean, I could go through each
just listen
thing here, but the general idea is to reframe the debate.
I would just recommend get the book, and we'll have Robbie and Robert on UFOs Reframing the Debate. And I'm looking at what you'll see with the Kindle version, more or less, but I'm seeing a fully formatted version here, the PDF copy that Robbie sent me. In fact, I've got it up now, and I don't want to get caught reading it because then we're not going to have a show. I'm just going to be reading the book. Now, RPJ, he also did one of the best editorials we ever had in the Paracast newsletter. It was about comparing abductions and near-death experiences. We've got Greg, Gene, and Chris.
You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how we can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
rehabilitation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Was that gay Dracula?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, the Paracast.
I'm just leaving this on because I think it's in the spirit of the Beatles, because it's 50 years of Sergeant Pepper. We honor outtakes, and we honor asides, and we honor the surprising things that occur.
Yeah. My favorite outtake tricks was during the final mixdown, they had a microphone live in the studio, and as they were doing the fade out to I Am the Walrus, which actually should have been on Sgt. Pepper, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but that was part of the Magical Mystery Tour thing.
Right, but it was actually recorded during the Pepper sessions. Anyway, he turned on the radio, and there was a radio play of King Lear. And
oh,
if you listen very carefully, you can hear King Lear kind of weaving in and out of the outro of
I know the role of serviceable villain, as studious to the vices of thy mistress, as badness with desire. That yeah,
exactly.
I didn't know it came from the radio. I knew it was Lear, but I didn't know it was a recording.
He turned the radio on, and that was what was on the radio. That was live. That was like a synchronistic recording, which I just love that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my wife actually bought the entire Sgt. Pepper set, and we've been listening to all the outtakes and all that. The vinyl, we've been listening to the vinyl. It's a beautiful package. Yeah.
Yeah, it just came out last week, I think.
Yeah, we got it on Saturday morning it came. Yeah.
And does it have the DVD of the making of?
Yes.
Yeah, man, I really want to see that.
Yeah, I got to listen to it with headphones. We've been listening to the vinyl like on the stereo out in the living room, but I want to actually sit down with some headphones and really listen to it.
Yeah, and George Martin's son remixed it.
Yeah, Gilles Martin.
Now, one thing I noticed, which is something that Paul McCartney said in an interview about it, and that is they were influenced by spontaneous things, like what was that? if you get my point. Something weird happens, or they hear a weird sound, or somebody threads the tape backwards, and suddenly it's playing in reverse. They hear that and say, no, yeah, let's do something with
some
that.
Really good quality psychedelics really, really are very creatively inspiring.
Yes, that also helped. That certainly also helped. And then there was this comment from McCartney that I read, where'd they come up with Sergeant Pepper? And he said that he was flying in a plane with their roadie, their head roadie.
Yeah,
and he said salt and pepper. And McCartney repeated back to him, Sergeant Pepper? Don't know if it's true, but that's what he said.
Yeah. I think a lot of this avant-garde stuff, it's been discussed, you know, extensively that McCartney was into Stockhausen and all kinds of experimental music and sound, and he brought a lot of this into the studio. A lot of people would think it might be Lennon, but it was a lot of
McCartney's
influence. Yeah,
you're right.
Mainly his influence.
And I think there was also, at this point, some resentment to McCartney because he controlled the sessions. Very much so. It was his thing that everybody else participated in, and that might have been one of the early days of resentment. But supposedly before they did Sgt. Pepper, they were actually talking about just giving up the Beatles thing. You know, this is it.
Becoming a new band with alter egos.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a letter in the new package, if you get it, from I think a journalist or somebody saying, I've heard the Beatles are going to break up because they're saying they want to do something, you know, that they don't want to be in their personas anymore. And this press guy was really worried that the Beatles were going to break up because he'd heard this rumor that they wanted to change things.
Well, I still say that if you look at Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, and Magical Mystery Tour, those are probably the four most kick-ass progressive, paradigm-shifting albums ever in a row by any rock band.
Yeah, what's weird about it is that somebody pointed this out, it's that they're one of the few bands that were able to reinvent themselves and be innovative and not lose their audience and their popularity.
And become incredibly even more relevant than they already were. But you know, I think it's interesting that it dovetails, but you know, Rubber Souls, when they were first really turned on to pot, in cannabis, you know, and that sort of Yesterday Today, the Butcher Babies into the kind of Rubber Soul period, and then right at the end of the Rubber Soul sessions, they were turned on to LSD, and of course, you know, the famous Tomorrow Never Knows rendition is a direct product of that. Dr. Roberts is a story of being dosed by their dentist, and then right. Going into Revolver, and then you have an incredible leap forward in songwriting prowess and integrating sound effects and almost a radio play sort of quality, a very theatrical quality to the music. And then, of course, from Revolver into Sgt. Pepper, and then a lot of the leftovers from the Pepper sessions actually went on the Magical Mystery Tour album, Penny Lane, you know, Strawberry Fields, and I Am the Walrus, so the three songs that come to mind. But a lot of that was all due to their use of psychedelics, and even they admitted it. And it's funny how their albums went, you know, kind of downhill from then when they got off the psychedelics. They released some of their rawest albums, and then of course Abbey Road was their last kind of swan song to make it all seem worthwhile. But
what's your take on the White Album?
Just a loose collection of songs, just kind of no real, you know, everything's willy-nilly. A lot of stuff, little ditties that they wrote in India, Dear Prudence, Bungalow Bill, Ballad of Rocky Raccoon. All those were songs that they just kind of banged off and wrote in India and then came back and recorded them properly.
Mostly separately.
Yeah, a lot of it separately. Yeah, they weren't even in the studio. In fact, the other Beatles didn't even know that George Harrison didn't play the lead on While My Guitar Gently Weeps, that he actually had Clapton come in. And the other Beatles didn't know, and they were really ticked off when they found out.
Well, yeah, one person who described the album said it's like John and the band and Paul and the band and George and the band, because each one emphasized their own personal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, good. That's a pretty good, I think, summation. But, you know, again, I think after Brian Epstein died, they were a ship without a rudder. And unfortunately, I think it was the power struggle. I think that ensued after that to fill that vacuum. Really was what broke up the band, and of course McCartney getting Alan Klein as his lawyer, and just the whole business thing with Apple, and it just all fell apart.
Yeah, Klein was the other three, and Eastman was he wanted to.
Right. Klein was with Lennon, Ringo, and Harrison, and then the Eastmans got their own attorney, right?
Yeah, I just read the Paul McCartney biography. I can't remember who wrote it. Big, fat, like 800-page book, but fascinating. It took me like a couple of weeks to get through it.
Yeah, I read that when it came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, he also wrote one of Lennon on Lennon too. I haven't gotten
Albert to. Grossman, I think. Albert Grossman.
I don't think it was Albert Grossman. I can't remember.
He wrote the big book on Lennon that was very, very good.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'd have to pick it up.
I remember when John Lennon would come into, I think, WNEW-FM in New York, and he'd sit down for interviews quite often. And he was talking about once this rock and roll album he did, where he does rock classics. It was produced by Phil Spector. Right.
Right.
Now, he said at the time, I'm paraphrasing what Lennon said, I bet this interview is online somewhere. He said he didn't realize that Spector was a nutcase. And that's pretty much what he said. And
yeah, he did, because they worked on Across the Universe and a few other Beatles songs together.
Right, but he didn't realize that. No, he worked with him, but he didn't realize the guy was a nut. He was crazy. They worked with him for a number of years. And so Spector took the tapes, the master tapes from this album, and he stuck it in his basement and had all sorts of paranoid excuses not to give it to him.
Right. Well, he held him hostage.
Right. And so the guy got to be pretty crazy. I think at that point they realized that Phil Spector was a lunatic, and they didn't realize that before. I don't know how we started with this, except that John Lennon once saw a UFO. Yeah. More to come with Greg Bishop and Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features. And most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aroni what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. Can you afford to repair or replace your air conditioning when it stops working this summer? Or worse, a major plumbing problem? With National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. If you own a home, you could stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get 1 month of repair coverage for free. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems, so you have no more costly repair bills. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper. I got that album one day before it officially went on sale.
It was 50 years ago today.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're doing the show on June 1st. So you're right.
I can't remember what the day was. Was it June 1st? I thought it was on, like, you know,
no,
May.
No, it was June 1st.
Really? Okay.
Right.
In the U.S., it came out a week earlier in England, I think.
Okay. Philip Norman was the biographer I read. Paul McCartney, The Life by Philip Norman.
Yep, I read that. Actually, yeah. A while ago. It's a good book. It's a little sanitized.
Is it? But yeah, because McCartney approved of it.
Well, I love the part about him getting into Stockhausen and Harry Parch, all the real super progressive, Philip Satie, Terry Reid. I love all that stuff. And because I always thought it was Lennon that was the real avant-garde, you know, because of his association with Yoko. But as it turns out, no, it was all the backwards tapes and all that kind of loony stuff that they came up with in the studio. A lot of it was McCartney, most of it.
Enough of the Beatles, ladies and gentlemen. Let's
I wonder how we got off on that.
We can't top the Beatles. Let's go back to the paranormal. How's that? Let's do that.
Fine by me.
Very good. Just a brief announcement, by the way. Speaking of things that are happening, Don Ecker has announced that he is not going to produce any more episodes of Dark Matters Radio. But he still has the shows online. We've got a Dark Matters forum over the Paracast, so if you want to check the archives, it's there. There you go. Sorry to hear that. I guess it reached a time where, you know, maybe he felt that he couldn't do it any longer. It's like me and computer books. One day I woke up and I was writing all these books about computers, and it was at a time when publishers were cutting back, advances weren't as high, and I reached a point saying, I just can't do this anymore. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, we hope Don Ecker will certainly rejoin us from time to time in the Paracast, and we wish him good luck in his future pursuits. Let us continue.
Too many distractions with the station going down and all that. A few people, including myself, offered to help him set up his own station, but it took me about a month or two to figure out everything to try and get my podcast set up properly so that it's completely done by me, controlled by nobody else, and I just pay a little fee each month to have that address for the broadcast be assigned specifically to me. So yeah, Don, if you hear this, I'll help you out if you need it.
Let's continue here. And I think it's the big question we ask as we look at the state of the UFO field. And the first part is goes back to the early discussion about Roswell. What portion of all those early cases that really started everybody going on this quest, what portion of those cases were just something else? Government experiments, things like that. How much did that influence some of the early sightings that launched everybody into UFO-dom? Greg?
I don't know. I almost, you know, I, as you're saying it, I'm thinking what I care about is the cases that seem to have been affecting people on a very basic level, a very personal level, and that that were not explained by these other things you're talking about. And it'd be interesting to see over the course of, you know, the decades how people described what happened to them and how it affected their lives. And I would venture to say it was much different in the 1950s than it is now. Way different. And that's according to a lot of factors, personal factors, but societal factors most importantly, and how people look at the subject, what they think and all that, because that affects deeply, I think, how people experience it, their backgrounding. That would be interesting to me. The fact, you know, what's explained, what was, you know, secret government, whatever, that doesn't concern me personally as much anymore, although it does. I don't mind if it concerns other people. I like to see what they think. Because I've said this, I think, before on your show, I think the most important question right now is what causes UFO reports?
Good question. What does cause UFO reports? Aliens?
Yeah, who knows what causes them? That's what I'd like to find out. What causes a UFO report that remains, as most people would accept it, unexplained? And if it's unexplained, where, you know, which thread do we follow towards an explanation? And at this point, I think the explanation has to do a lot with us and very little with whatever is causing the report. So I think when I say what causes UFO reports, I think, you know, probably a large percentage of it is what happens when somebody has a weird experience, what happens in their minds, what happens in their local environment, how do they remember it, how do they describe it to other people, how does their, you know, how does their visual, psychological, neurological system react to a strange phenomena, and how does that turn into what we know as a UFO report? Those, I think, to me, those are the important questions now.
I'm going to find out a new fun sighting report form.
Yeah, you're not going to find that on a sighting report form, and maybe that's, you know, maybe that's why all that has to be done away with and stop taking reports and just start talking to people. Because I think most people, when they give a report, they just want somebody to listen to what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to come and say, look, I saw this thing and, you know, it's important that it get out to the press and blah, blah. They don't care about that. What they care about is I got to express this really weird thing that happened to me to somebody with a sympathetic ear, or at least one that's not going to call me a nut.
Right.
And I don't know how you can categorize that.
Well, that is also a request for validation.
Yeah, exactly.
You want someone to come out there and say, yeah, you're not crazy. You saw something. Which, of course, unfortunately influences the way the data is collected.
Yes, exactly. You got a UFO investigator going out. What do you think the hell? What do you think people are going to say to UFO investigator?
Right.
That I saw a UFO with, you know, the popular idea about what these things are is going to be filtered back through them saying something to a UFO investigator that they think the investigator wants to hear, and maybe parrot back to them in a way that says, this is, like Gene said, this is validated. You really did see something. And unfortunately, it's going to be parroted back, and you really did see something. And it's aliens coming from other planets in structured craft. In fact, I don't know if witnesses would be happy if you came out there and said, I don't know what you saw. I don't know if it's from another planet. I don't even know what the explanation is. I just want to hear what you have to say about it. But unfortunately, I think that's what they should be doing.
I've said that actually quite a number of times. People say, well, what do you care for? It's like, that's a really good question, Farmer Brown. I'm really interested in how this experience sort of impacted you. Did it change your thinking? Do you believe things differently now than you did before the experience? I mean, it was the societal programming aspect of it that has always interested me. I've been saying for years, the experiencer is more important than the experience. And and it's actually kind of gratifying to hear the guy who invented the whole concept of data crunching in ufology, Jacques Vallée, of all people, to come out and say, well, I don't think maybe data mining is going to get us anywhere, or it's really, efficacious for this process, which is what I'm getting from you, Greg, that he said. It was like, the whole garbage in, garbage out argument, which I've always used. It's like, I'm so proud of my database because it was gathered very stringently by yours truly. Mm-hmm. I'm confident in the accuracy and the, the possible usefulness that it might bring somebody, and it's consistent. There is no consistency when you're trying to dovetail and collate and coalesce different style databases together. It's impossible to come up with any sort of valuable information other than just rough trends, maybe days of the week, time of the day, that sort of thing. You may be able to come up with some patterning, but again, it all looks like when people are outside, happen to be looking up, that's when you get more sightings. If there's fireworks shows around the 4th of July, you see a big spike. You see a big spike around any sort of lunar or solar eclipse. Anytime that there's, any sort of celestial event like Hale Bopp, of course, comes to mind, or Kohoutek. If you look at the appearance of comets, you see a spike in reports because people are looking up in the air. That's really important to remember, that you have to be able to, you have to look up in the air to be able to see something.
Let's look up at this for a moment, and we'll get back with more with Greg Bishop. Gene and Chris, you're in.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.